Cage Prisoners presents an exclusive interview with Imam Anwar al-Awlaki. Anwar al-Awlaki is a Muslim scholar of Yemeni heritage born in New Mexico. He served as an imam in California and later in Washington DC area, where he headed the Darul Hijra Islamic Center and was also the Muslim chaplain at George Washington University. In 2004, he returned to his native Yemen, where he taught at Iman University until his arrest in mid-2006. Imam Anwar was released from custody on the 12th of December 2007, having spent a year and a half behind bars. In his first interview since his release, conducted by former Guantanamo detainee and Cage Prisoners spokesman Muslim Beg, he spoke about the conditions of his detention and shared his reflection on his time spent in prison.
Okay, the first question is, when you were arrested, what grounds were you held for? Were there any charges made against you?
I was arrested in mid-2006. Initially, I was held on because I entered as an arbitrator in a local issue here, a tribal issue. I was an arbitrator in that issue, and I was arrested until that issue, because the government wanted to solve that issue rather than have it solved tribally.
Right, okay.
After that, they began asking me questions about my local Islamic activities here. Mm-hmm. And later on, it was becoming clear that I was being held due to the request of the U.S. government. That was what they were telling me here, and that the Americans wanted to meet me.
Well, that's something that shared that we can share together. I've also been held at the request of the Americans for quite some time. The other question is that the media reported that your incarceration was due to having some knowledge or some people who were involved in 9/11 at your sermons. Can you clarify any of this at all?
That was one of the issues the Americans asked about, but I don't know if I was held because of that or because of the other issues that they presented. That just was one of the issues that they inquired about.
Okay. Can you describe a little bit about what your prison condition was like, what your individual cell was like?
For the first 9 months, I was in solitary confinement in an underground cell. I would say the cell was about 8 feet by four, and it was about 12 feet high. It was clean. No interaction with any other prisoner was allowed for the entire 9 months. After that, I was they moved me to the upper floor. The same thing, it was solitary confinement. Although the restrictions were less and the room was larger, it was about maybe three times the size of the initial room, or initial cell. And I spent there the remainder of my period, which was 1.5 years.
Did they place any restrictions on you?
I was allowed for the last month and a half. They moved another person into this room for the last month and a half. So for a year and a half minus this month and a half, I was in solitary confinement, with the exception of the last month and a half.
Did they place any restrictions on you in terms of what you were allowed to have in your cell and what you were allowed to, how you were allowed to interact with other prisoners or in any way other than you've already stated?
When I was in the underground cell, there were restrictions on family visits, restriction on any food that my family would send me. There were restrictions on books. I was not allowed pen and pencil, pen and paper, and no exercise whatsoever. I haven't seen the sun for the entire period. What else? And no interaction at all with any person except with the prison guards. Later on, when I moved to the upper level, even though I was still in solitary confinement, but the restrictions were less, visits from the family were more frequent. They would allow me food from home twice a week. Mm-hmm. And I was allowed more books. So things were better for the during the last period of my of the time I spent detention. Don't want to say sentence because there wasn't any sentence.
That's one of the questions I was going to ask you. You were never charged with a crime, is that correct? And you were never put through any legal system?
I wasn't charged. Yeah, I wasn't charged with anything. I was held for interrogation. When interrogation was over, I was released.
Did any foreign interrogation take place? Did any Americans or any other foreign nationals interrogate you?
Yes, the U.S. did interrogate me.
Okay, and do you know if that was the FBI?
Officials from the U.S.
Did they identify themselves as FBI, CIA, NSA, anything?
Yes. They were FBI.
Okay. And how was their attitude towards you? How did they deal with you as a person? How did they regard you when they saw you?
There was some pressure which I refused to accept, and that led to a conflict that occurred between me and them, because I felt that it was improper behavior from their behalf, and that led to an issue between me and them during the interrogation. That was solved, however, later on, and they apologized.
Were you able to have contact with your family at all during the imprisonment? Of course, you've already said that they restricted from you letters, phone calls, and so forth during the first 9 months, I think you said. But afterwards, did they allow you this contact?
Yeah, towards the latter period of my imprisonment, I was allowed visits from my family once a week.
Okay. How often were you interrogated by either local officials or foreign officials? Was it something regular? Was it something sporadic?
The interrogation was on and off for a year.
Is there any truth in the rumor that says you were placed under house arrest prior to this and that you were banned from speaking in public?
No, that's not true. I haven't been placed under house arrest, nor have I been banned from speaking publicly.
Okay, so that's not true at all. There is also something that says that you were being punished in prison because you were teaching some of the other prisoners. Is this true also, or could you elaborate on that?
No, I didn't have a chance to deliver any lessons because I was in solitary confinement for the entire period except the last month, which was only me and another person. So I wasn't in touch with other prisoners.
Are you allowed to travel outside the Yemen? Obviously, many people want you to come to the United Kingdom and elsewhere to come and give lectures, and you've only been out a few days. So I think this is based on a question of a lot of your supporters, mashallah. Are you allowed to travel outside of the Yemen to give lectures?
Well, I would like to travel, however, not until the U.S. drops whatever unknown charges it has against me.
Yes, and that would be my advice to anybody who's in that sort of situation, is to be aware of that. Can you tell us any of the lessons that you've learned from being incarcerated that you would like to share with people?
Inshallah, this is something that I plan to do in a lecture or more, and I would leave it to that point.
Inshallah, and is that your one of your plans for the future? Do you have any other plans for the future that you'd care to elaborate upon, or is it something that you would wait and see until how time unfolds?
You mean in terms of lectures?
Lectures and just life in general, not just lectures, but generally as a future. What does the future hold?
I have a few opportunities open at the moment, and I haven't chosen yet among them.
Okay.
I'm still studying the situation at the time being.
Sure. Do you know, what was your response to the outpouring of support and concern, the campaigns, petitions, Facebook groups, and the messages that you received from since your release? What's your response to this? How do you...
Alhamdulillah, it was very moving to know that there are brothers and sisters out there who are making dua for me. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, I believe that I was released due to the dua of a certain righteous person. who was making dua for me, because Rasulullah says that when a person makes dua for his fellow brother, an angel makes dua for him. And Rasulullah says that the dua for your brother Muslim is an accepted dua. So I believe that it was due to these people who were making dua to me, for me, that I have been released. And I would like to thank them very much and say Jazakumullahu khairan.
Inshallah, inshallah. And I think that I pray that the dua that they make for you is also made for all of the other prisoners around the world, inshallah, and that they all release bidnillah.
Inshallah.
Could you please give some words of advice to other prisoners and the prisoners' families in terms of your experience and how they might benefit from your words?
My advice to them is the saying of Allah Azza wa Jal, "Asa an takrahu shay'an wa huwa khayrun lakum." You might dislike something, mm-hmm. and there is a lot of good in it for you.
Indeed.
And the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "La yaqdi Allahu qada'a lil mu'mini illa kana khayran lah." Whatever decree Allah decrees for the believer, it is good for him. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed that a certain person should be in prison, and if Allah Azza wa Jalla has decreed for a certain family that one of their members is in prison, we as believers should believe that this decree is good, and there is a hikmah, there is wisdom in it, and we should all have the trust and faith in whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has destined for us. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say in the dua, أَسْأَلُكَ الرِّبَى فِي الْقَبَى, I ask you to make me satisfied and happy with what you have decreed for me. This is the first word of advice. The second word of advice is, this is a test for your sabr, patience.
Yes.
And patience is the one deed in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised an open reward. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. There's no limit on the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives for the sabireen, the patient. Finally, one should always believe that the strongest weapon that they have is dua. Is dua. And they should never underestimate the power of dua.
Yeah.
And Umar ibn al-Khattab used to say, لا أحمل هم الإجابة وإنما أحمل هم الدعاء. I'm not worried about Allah not accepting my prayers, but I'm worried about the way I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah will accept the dua. Allah will respond to it. It's just that we have to do it properly with sincerity.
Jazakallah khair. One of the things that we used to do in Guantanamo, one of the things that I learned is that Surah Yusuf used to be the most often, most resonating surah that I used to read and contemplate on, simply because Yusuf alayhi salam was thrown in prison for something that he didn't do. Is that, and when I read that, it's in prison, it was totally different, my attitude towards it, and I began to cry in a way that I never would have thought was possible. Did you feel any particular verses from the Quran or any particular ayat or Sahaba stories were relevant to how you were faring your time in prison?
Well, the feeling I had when I was reading Quran, every surah, every ayah was totally different when I would read it in the cell compared to when I was reading it outside.
Yeah, absolutely, mashallah.
That is particularly true with Surah Yusuf.
Yeah.
But I can say that this has been the case with every single ayah and every surah in Quran. It was in a totally different light, yeah. And I was reading it in prison.
SubhanAllah. It's quite amazing because in prison, they took, for us in Guantanamo, they took everything away from us, our clothes, our families, our food, everything, our life. And the only thing that we had that was familiar to us was the Quran. Even though it was a different version or a different print, but it was the only thing that we could look at that was familiar. Everything else, the land, the area, the prisons, the even the accents of the people that were speaking were totally unfamiliar to us, except the word of Allah, which gave us strength.
Subhanallah. And because they took everything away and gave Quran, that's why Quran had this different meaning. Because Uthman ibn Affan used to say, if our hearts were clean and pure, we would never satisfy our thirst from the Quran. It is because of the distractions that are going around us, we don't get the benefit, the most benefit from Quran. Yeah. But when a person is in that solitary environment, yeah, all the distractions are taken away, and his heart fixed on the word of Allah Azza wa Jal, the ayat of Quran open into a completely, they give a completely different meaning.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Do you have or have you had interaction with people who've been in Guantanamo, in prison, or after release? Have you been able to speak to them and to see how they've fared since their release at all?
There were some brothers who were brought from Guantanamo and handed over to the Yemeni government and spent time in the PSO prison where I was, but I didn't have a chance to interact with them. Okay. I heard that they passed through. Okay. While I was there. However, I never had a chance to interact with any of them yet.
Inshallah, may you interact with them all in Jannah, inshallah.
Inshallah, I would really like to know how it was over there.
Inshallah. Finally, this I suppose a question for caged prisoners. Do you have any words about what your feelings towards organizations like Caged Prisoners are? What you think of our work, good or bad?
Yes. Brothers and sisters at Caged Prisoners are fulfilling the order of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was stated in Bukhari, "Fukku al-ani," seek the release of the prisoner. And they are at the forefront of fulfilling this command of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I ask Allah azza wa jal to reward them and to assist them in their effort.
Barakallahu feek, jazakallahu khairan, Shaykh.
Yeah.